For some people, Christianity is only a facade. Pastor Ray Bentley explains.
Here's what scares me. There would be some who are outwardly doing Christian things, but who inwardly do not know the Lord and will be surprised to stand on that day saying, Lord, Lord, and not be allowed entrance within. Am I hiding behind religion, or do I have a real relationship with God?
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Some people can look like fired-up Christians on the outside, but inside it's a whole different story. It isn't just that they're Christians who occasionally sin, they're sinners who think they're saved. Today, Pastor Ray takes us to the book of Romans for some strong words of warning. Let's listen.
Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 29. And there are several questions that we're going to ask this morning. We're going to take from Romans and apply it to our generation on our time. Question number one, am I hiding behind religion? And question number two, is my faith proved by my works? And then question number three, what does God see in my heart? In verses 17 through 20, Paul is kind of asking the religious Jewish community of 2,000 years ago, are you really saved? Or are you just merely hiding behind your religion? It was very easy 2,000 years ago to say, of course I know God, I'm a Jew. Of course I'm going to heaven, I'm a Jew. Of course I am right with God, I am a Jew. But in many ways, as Paul will describe, it's possible to hide behind a religious facade while being a hypocrite underneath that facade. And the reason that we need to take a look at this is because 2,000 years later, there are many Christians with the same attitude of religious arrogance and pride and presumption as there were 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And what's sobering about this is that someday, untold numbers of people, millions and millions of people, will stand before God in the great white throne judgment. And at first they will disbelieve that they are there. Listen, if you end up standing before the great white throne judgment, you are in trouble. Because all those who stand before the great white throne judgment, the books will be open, and you will be found wanting, and you will be judged. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Let's read that scripture in your notes out loud together. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. If you have a pen or a pencil in your notes, circle the word many. I wish with all my heart that Jesus had chosen another word. I wish he had not said many will say Lord, Lord. I wish he would have said some will say Lord, Lord. But he doesn't. He says many. That should be a very sobering and to some extent chilling thought. Millions and multitudes of people expecting uniquely and individually that they will surely enter into heaven only in that final day to be surprised to hear the Lord say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. And they will say, no, wait a minute, Lord, you must be talking about him. You must be talking about her. Lord, we knew each other. And to prove it, they will say, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons? And in your name did we not perform many miracles? And the Lord will still say, that's not enough. It's not enough that you prophesy in my name. It is not enough that demons were cast out. It's not enough that miracles were performed. Whoa. How could this possibly be true? How could somebody prophesy in the name of the Lord, drive demons out in the name of the Lord, and have miracles work through their prayers in the name of the Lord and not know Jesus Christ? Well, one example that we're all very familiar with is a man named Judas Iscariot. And I believe that Judas Iscariot thought he was one of the group, all the way to the very end. When Jesus sent the disciples out, and it says that they cast demons out, and they came back rejoicing, and he said, don't rejoice that demons are cast out, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But they all came back with the report, and surely as he sent them out in pairs, somebody was paired with Judas, and they prayed for somebody, and a demon was cast out, and Judas saw it. Miracles were done. We don't know, but we assume that at some point, Judas laid his hands on somebody that was sick in the name of Jesus, and they were healed. But Jesus never knew Judas. And Jesus said, there will be many on that day that will say, Lord, Lord, but they will not know the Lord, and they will not enter into heaven. It is hard to believe that sincere, earnest, religious people will be lost. But that's what this verse tells us. Why? Because they have been lulled into a false religious security that all the while they're religious outwardly has kept their hearts away from God. So in verses 17 through 20, Paul brings to us the danger of thinking we are okay because we possess the truth. And there may be some here this morning that say, I'm okay because I know the truth. I know the gospel, and we may be in for a surprise. So in verse 17, Paul says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and you rest in the law. Now, when we read that, you are called a Jew. Let me translate how they heard it. Behold, thou art the chosen of God, and they are. And you rest in the law. God didn't give the law to the world. God gave the law only to the Jews. And you make your boast of God. Hey, they're all worshiping, you know, things and animals and trees and rocks and frogs and idols. And we know the one true God. There's only one God. We know that. And he's revealed himself to us through our father Abraham, and we know that. In verse 18, and we know his will. The Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, revealed his will to us, the Jews. And approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of mere babes, which have a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. If you were to ask 2,000 years ago, tell me why you, as a Jew, are the chosen people and why you think you're going to heaven, they didn't even need to say anything. All they needed to do in Jerusalem was point to the temple. Just point to it. Look. There it is. There is proof. That is the temple, the only temple of the only true God. He manifests his presence there, his Shekinah, his glory. The pillar of fire, the cloud, the glory of the Lord. That's it. And it's our temple. So, yes, I am going to heaven. Yes, I am the chosen one of God. And yet, as Paul begins to describe, and he says all these things are true. Number one, they are God's chosen people to whom he gave the law. However, they thought their special status was in having the law. Paul says, no, your special status should be that you live the law, not just that you possess it. Secondly, they bragged regarding God and knowing the one true God. Now, boasting in God can be good if you're boasting in God for the right reason. But they were boasting because they were God's favorites and they felt that they were better than other people. God had already told them clearly in the Word, look, yes, I've chosen you. Yes, you are special. But I did not choose you because you are better than other people. I chose you because Abraham believed in me. He trusted in me, and that's the basis of my relationship with you, is that you trust me. So Paul, what he's saying is, what good does it do to be a son of Abraham outwardly when you don't trust God inwardly in your heart? Thirdly, he says they know God's revealed will. It is true that God revealed his will to the Jewish nation and to the Jewish people, and they prided themselves on making superior judgments of morality, of knowing the difference between right and wrong because of the law of Moses. And that is true. But the real question is not do you have the law, but do you live the righteousness required by the law? And there was a sense of pride that had crept in. And Paul says that you have forgotten that you are not saved by your pride, you are saved by your humility and dependence with the Lord. Here's what scares me. As I thought and as I prayed for you and for this message, and I realized there would be some who would be listening to this message right here, who think they are going to heaven because they are Christians, the chosen people of God, who are outwardly doing Christian things, but who inwardly do not know the Lord and will be surprised to stand on that day saying, Lord, Lord, and not be allowed entrance within. And so we have to search our hearts, even as Paul implored those 2,000 years ago to search their hearts. Am I hiding behind religion? Or do I have a real relationship with God? The second question that Paul asks is in verses 21 through 25. Because how do I know if I'm saved? Can I know if I'm going to heaven? By answering this question, is my faith proved by my works? Paul is not here going to teach that we are saved by our works. But where Paul is going is that if you are saved, your works should prove that you are a different person. So in verse 21, he says, thou therefore which teach another, do you not teach yourself? You that preach a man should not steal, do you steal? Paul is asking the question that the pagan unbelievers who don't go to church, who don't go to synagogue, who don't follow the law, who are just living their lives. And the question that they're really asking is, if you religious people, if what you say is real and if what you say is true, how come you don't live what you say? How come you preach one thing and live another? That is a fair question. That's a question that needs to be answered. One of the biggest reasons, and you know this, that people don't go to church is not because of Jesus. It's because of Christians who are hypocrites, who live one way at work and play another way when they go to church on Sunday. Do you practice what you preach, is what Paul is saying. If you don't, how do you know that you're saved? Verse 22, you that say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that abhor idols, do you commit sacrilege? You that make your boast in the law, through the breaking of the law, are you dishonoring God? And then Paul nails it. He nails them, and he nails us in verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profits if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. Circumcision may or may not mean much to you, but it's basically saying, replace that word with being a Jew. And then the idea of being a Jew as being the chosen people of God, that you're going to heaven. Paul is saying your Jewishness profits if you live righteously. But if you break the law, your Jewishness is made non-Jewishness. It's not enough to say who you are. You have to live who you are. And so this is a very clear teaching. The name of God is blasphemed because of you. There are many Jewish teachers and leaders that were guilty of these offenses, and it was common knowledge. But may we not also say there are many pastors and evangelists who are also guilty of the same thing today. The world knows that the church doesn't have perfect people in it. I think the thing that angers them and alienates them is our attitude when we do fall, because we try to gloss over it, we try to cover it or hide it. We pretend we're saints, when in reality, we are sinners just like everybody else, saved by the grace of God. So it's our arrogance and pride that is the stumbling block to the needy masses and multitudes who are looking for the truth in the midst of this world. Paul's cross-examination reveals that you who are religious, because of your witness to the world, are not okay with God. The name of God is blasphemed by our hypocrisy. David, who committed the sin of adultery, 2 Samuel 12, verse 14, let's read that scripture out loud together. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. David, what you did was not private. It was not personal. It was not just with you. It affected not only the nation of Israel. It affected all the nations surrounding Israel. In other words, you affected the world. And there are many Christians who go to church expecting to go to heaven, who are living a hypocritical life, who say one thing and do another, and they think that their sins are only affecting them. It never works that way, does it? It affects everybody else around us. So, we finally come to this question: what does God see within our hearts? Verses 26 through 29. In verse 26, therefore, Paul says, if the uncircumcision, now he's talking about Gentiles, keep the righteousness of the law. He says, let's take a guy that you would say is headed for hell, pagan, Gentile, idol worshiper. This guy is definitely not one of God's. And yet he lives. He wasn't given the law, doesn't know the law, but he lives a righteous life. Paul says, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? In other words, Paul is saying, if you have a Gentile who doesn't know God, he doesn't have the law, doesn't have the prophets, but he lives a righteous life, won't God count him as being a Jew? Won't God count him as being a child of Abraham, as worthy of going to heaven? Now, Paul is only speaking hypothetically. It's impossible for a Gentile to live righteously. He's not saying it would happen. He is saying hypothetically, if it happened, the importance would not be the outward sign of being a Jew or circumcision. It would be the inward life and heart that is living righteously. That's what God is after. If all you have is the outward sign, but you don't have the inward heart, you don't belong to God. So he goes on, verse 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfills the law, judge you who by the letter and circumcision do transgress the law? He says if there was a Gentile who did live righteously and was a child of God, he would condemn you who are called a child of God, yet who breaks the law of God. Then in verse 28, he really zeroes in on it. He says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Do you know the word praise there? Paul is making a play on words. You know what the word praise is in Hebrew? Judah. And the shortened version of Judah is Jew. What Paul is saying in the last phrase of verse 29, he is saying that a true Jew's Jewishness, which means praise, comes not from men, but from God. It's not what's outward, but it is what is inward. Now, in applying, we need to apply this to ourselves. You say, well, here we're talking about Israel and circumcision and all of this. Here's what I want you to do. In applying this to ourselves, just substitute for the word circumcision any of the following: baptism, church membership, confirmation, Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic. So often you will ask someone, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? I am. Why? Well, I was baptized. Well, okay, but do you know the Lord? Well, I was baptized. They're placing their faith in an outward rite. Others will say, why, of course I'm going to heaven. I'm a Methodist. I was born a Methodist, and I'll always be a Methodist. And the Methodists are going to heaven. Others will say, I'm a Baptist, and we're definitely going to heaven. We're baptized, and we got all the right doctrine. So we are definitely going to heaven. Now, we're not sure about them Pentecostals. All the, you know, woo, and all that, and the tongues are flying around. We don't know about you. But we're definitely going to heaven. I heard one Assembly of God guy say, you're right, and you'll be there first, because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. So that establishes it. So back and forth it goes. But listen very carefully. You do not want to stand before God and say, I should go to heaven because I was baptized. I deserve to go to heaven because I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a churchgoer, or I'm a Christian. All of these are outward signs, yes, that have meaning only if they are accompanied by the inward result that that sign is an indication of. For instance, let's just take one analogy. Replace the word circumcision with the word baptism, and let's see how it reads, beginning in verse 25. For baptism is very profitable if you live righteously. But if you're a breaker of the law of God, your baptism is made non-baptism. Therefore, if the baptism or the non-baptism, those who are not baptized, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his non-baptism be counted by God as though he were baptized? And shall not the unbaptized, which is by nature, if it fulfills the law, going to judge you who by the letter and by being baptized, and yet you don't live or walk the talk? For he is not a Christian which is one outwardly, neither is that baptism which is merely outward in the flesh, but he is a Christian which is one inwardly, and whose baptism is in the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Whoa. Reads quite differently, doesn't it? That's how it applies to you and I today.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with the bold truth of Scripture. We need to make sure our salvation is genuine, that we truly have given our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention The Heart of Salvation. It's available for just $7. And again, the title, The Heart of Salvation. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Romans on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of his return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Romans. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.